your church.
And so then Monday night, back with us again. Bring your pastors along and tell them to come down. We're going to teach a little bit out of the book of Genesis, our Exodus one, the Lord willing, for a couple nights. Then Wednesday night, we have a healing service again. And then on Thursday night, we begin it down in Shreveport, Louisiana. And a Sunday night, we'll be as far as I know now, at the Municipal Auditorium there at Shreveport. Then we go from there home, then up into Indiana to where we got a meeting there where 43 full gospel churches in the district are sponsoring a meeting. And as far as I know, the next meeting then will be Johannesburg, South Africa. So I'm depending on you praying for me. Many times, friends, when the storms is going hard, trials besetting on every hand, I would think back about Arkansas and down in here, the Christians who raised their hand on that night when you sing that song to me when I was leaving, pledging that you'd pray for me while I was gone. I was believing you were praying. God never failed to answer your prayers, for He stood with me. When the heat was on, the battles were going hard, all kinds of things they had to combat. Maybe you wouldn't understand just exactly. There's no need of trying to explain these things. They're inexplainable. God Himself is the only one who knows. You might think that life is just a fire bed of ease. But if you only knew the battle and the trials and the things that accompanied this, you wonder. You know, most all prophets, poets are considered neurotics. You knew that. I believe Stephen Foster, brother, was considered one of the best. Well, he gave America some of his best folk songs. How many of you ever heard Stephen Foster's song? Sure, many of you. The old folks at home, Swanee River, an old Kentucky home. How long ago I was standing at the old Kentucky home, it's just a little piece from where I live now. Now, I was looking at this picture there of how the seraphim is supposed to touch him to give him inspiration. I thought, Mr. Foster, you had it in the head, not in the heart. When he would go out, he'd catch inspiration to write a song, and after he got through writing the song, he'd get on a drum. And finally, when he left the inspiration of writing a song, he called a servant, got a razor, and committed suicide. Stephen Foster. Not long ago, I was standing by William Kemper's grave in London, England, considered a neurotic. He wrote that famous song that I've used all my life, nearly a communion song. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. And after he wrote that song, he went up into an inspiration, as always do. And when he came out of that inspiration, he tried to sign the same river to drown himself, commit suicide. He was considered a little bit off, a little upset. This famous song of the just sung, O Love of God, How Rich or Pure, you know where the last verse of that was found? Tacking on the wall of an insane institution. Did you know that? It's tacked on an insane institution in the walls. People don't realize what it means. We used to say, that's songwriters, how about prophets? Jonah, when he went down on his road and God gave him inspiration and gave him an oxygen supply to keep him alive 3 days and nights in the belly of a whale. And when he come out at Nineveh after being kept alive for 3 days and nights, he preached with such force, he gave his prophecy to a city the size of St. Louis, Missouri. Repented and even put sackcloth on their animals. And then after the inspiration left him, he sat under a tree and prayed for a little gourd to be cut down and prayed God to take his life. Is that right? See, he went up into inspiration. You don't understand, friend. And when he come down, someone made a mention. One time when it went out to the building, I collapsed before it got off the platform. I said, well, that's nonsense. The man ought to walk out. Oh, if he only knew. If you only knew, you'd say, oh, Brother Branham, if God give me vision, you don't know what you're asking about, friend. You don't understand. Daniel the prophet, he's seen one vision, said he was troubled at his head for many days. You're in another world. You've become a guinea pig. You're sacrificed for mankind. It's kind of hard when they won't believe the message, but it's been through the age. We've always had unbelievers. We have to combat that always. Look at Elijah the prophet. Elijah is one of the major prophets. That man went up and stood on the mountain and commanded that fire come from heaven and burn up the sacrifice, and it did it. He called rain down out of the heaven where it hadn't rained for 3 years and 6 months. Is that right?
Amen.
And then when the inspiration left him, he wandered in the wilderness for 40 days. Don't know where he was at. And God found him pulled back in a cave somewhere. Is that right? And run from a woman who threatened his life after killed 400 priests himself that day with a sword. Chopped their heads off. Elijah the prophet. Is that right? Stood there before all the nations and dared them to defy God. And made fun of all them priests and prophets while of Balaam, when there was prophesying, cutting themselves and so forth. He said, call a little louder, maybe he's pursuing. And when the inspiration was on him, he just defied everything that was ungodly. And then when the inspiration left him, run from the threat of one woman. And run out into the wilderness, and God fed him and woke him up and fed him again. And the man was unconscious, as far as I know, wandering around the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and God found him back in a cave. Is that right? So you see, you don't understand, friend. Man pray for things that they don't know what they're praying for. Besides, gifts and callings are without repentance. But I believe that we're living in the days just before the coming of the Lord. If it's fanaticism to believe that, then I am a fanatic. But I know this. I believe that God is fixing to do a real hurrying work. The whole world, did you ever see the like of nervousness? Just let me tell you, even every night when I've been here, now watch the audience now, each one. I want every man and woman to be sincere with me, feeling the pressure when nervous people come to this platform. There's at least right now in this building, 80% of what's sitting here is nervous, afflicted with nervous trouble. That's exactly right. You be sincere with me. Every man or woman, boy or girl in here has any nervous trouble, raise your hands. Raise your hand. What'd I tell you? What's the matter? The Bible said, man's heart failing, more heart troubles, number one disease, is that right? And fear. Sights upon the earth, perplexed of time, distress between the nations. Sea roaring, big tidal waves washing away parts of cities and breaking up on the shores just before the coming. Is this setting the stage for the greatest drama that was ever acted out in all ages? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine seeing a little lamb on the field feeding? He becomes nervous. Why is he nervous? He can't see nothing. But back in behind the rushes yonder, there's something. It's moving, it's a line, crouching, getting ready to spring on. That's what the nervousness is about. The end is here. I don't know when, no one else does. Who says he does? He doesn't know, for Jesus said it, he even himself didn't know. But we know that when these things begin to come to pass, he said, lift up our head. Redemption's drawing nigh. Now we're at the end of the age. And I do not want to try to misrepresent anything. I've never been guilty of that. I've always tried to be honest and true and just as true as I could be. First with God, and if I'm true with God, I'll be true with His children. And I realize as I serve His people, I'm serving God. Jesus said, insomuch you've done the least of these, my little ones, you've done it to me. But I say tonight, friends, the reason God has let me by His grace be numbered with you is because of something He has sent to you. Now I want you to receive it. Now I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that in the beginning God made man in His own image, and God is a spirit. And God made man spirit man, then He made him in the dust of the earth. Now I believe that man in the beginning will lead the animals of the earth like the Holy Spirit ought to be leading the church today. There's no man to till the soil, so then he put him in five senses. Them five senses was not to contact God. That was see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. They were to contact his earthly home. But by spirit, he contacts God. Man lost his origin, and he, back there, he fell from grace. And when he did, then God came down and was made in the image of man to redeem man back to God. And God was in Christ reconciled the world to himself. And the gods of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ of the New and the Holy Spirit of this day, is the same Jehovah God living down through the ages. Now, in the days that he led Israel through the wilderness, I want to read some scripture. I want you to notice closely. God commissioning Moses to send him out. Over in Exodus, the 23rd chapter and the 20th verse. Listen closely now. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Watch who this angel is. Beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou wilt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to thy enemies and an adversary to thy adversaries, for mine angel shall go before thee. Let's see what the angel looked like. In the 13th chapter of Exodus, we read this in the 21st and 22nd verse. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by a pillar of cloud in the way, by night by a pillar of fire to give them light to go by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, neither the pillar of fire by night from before the people. That's God's word. Now what was the angel? It was the angel of the covenant. And he led, and all the old things was a type of the new things to come. You believe that? Amen. Scripture says so, being a shadow. Hebrews. Now, as God led the church in the natural in that day, he's leading the church in the spiritual in this day. Do you believe it? They were the people of God until they were called out of Egypt, and then they become the church of God, for the word church means called out. They were called out of Egypt, and we were called out of the world, a peculiar people to serve God. And the same angel, if Jesus is the same angel, the angel of the covenant was Jesus Christ. For the Bible said that Moses esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. So he forsook Egypt, leaving all to follow and serve Christ. Christ is the Logos, of course, the one that went out of God in the beginning, which was the pillar of... Would you like to hear what I think about how God become? Would you take a little trip with me for a few minutes? Have I got time? I'll be reverent just a minute. Let me get this straightened out for you. Let's take a little trip in a little space now on mental vision and go back 100 million years before there was even a star in the sky. By your mind. It was God. He's always been God. And then we're standing here watching creation come into existence. There's not a star, there's not nothing. And then, let's notice, out yonder, I've seen how all that space, that all is God, without form, forever, for eternities. No beginning, no ending. It's all God. Before there was even air, it was God. The very beginning of nature of creation was God. And now, the Bible teaches us that the Logos went out of God. Or I might say all of the God becoming his first body form, when the Logos went out of God, let's look what it looked like. No one has seen the Father at any time. Nowhere. Never did, never will. But then, the Logos that went out of him become like a little halo of light. Let's see it playing yonder. Like a child before the doorstep of the Father. And now, I can see him as he moves over here, and he draws into his is memory or is mind a picture of what the world should be? Now, there's not a star or nothing. I hear him say, let there be, and an atom broke yonder. And when it did, the sun came into existence and began to whirl. She burned for millions of years, millions and millions of years. After a while, I see a clinker fly off of it. What is it? The first star that flew from the sun. He watches it fall for a few million years, and he stops it. Then another flies off, and he lets it fall a few million years and stops it. What's he doing? Writing his first Bible, the Zodiac. God's wrote three Bibles. One the Zodiac, one of the pyramids, one on paper. Now, he's writing his first, the Zodiac. It starts off with a virgin, ends up with Leo the Lion. Jesus' first coming and his second coming. We had time to run down through it, you'd see it. But he writes that because he, man is to look up, God is above. And then after he gets all of everything, all the heavenly, the solar system written out, then I see him move over here, and over a clinker was this world. It's nothing but an iceberg hanging out of it. He moves it over around the sun, and as he begins to revolve it around, he melts all the water, the ice on it. The icebergs come flying down to Texas is formed, Louisiana, and down through there were scraped off, as chronologists tell us, as the icebergs went on into the Gulf, and so forth. Now the world's without form and void, and water was up on the deep. We're in Genesis 1 now. See? Then he made all the plant life. Then after all, he made man in his own image. And if he made man in his own image, he had to make him something on the order of that supernatural being. That's right. Then there was no man to till the soil. Genesis 2. Then he made man out of the dust of the earth. Not in his image, but out of the dust of the earth. He might give him a hand like a monkey and a foot like a bear. I don't know what he gave him. But he put him in five senses to contact his earthly home. And then he made a wife for him. And man fell. I have my idea what it was. You can have yours. But he fell anyhow from grace. And instead of Adam running up and down the garden hollering, God, God, or Father, Father, where are you? Adam was hiding and God was hollering, Adam, Adam, where art thou? That's still the same nature of man. Hide. Get away from God. And he tried to make himself a covering out of fig leaves. Man today tries to make himself a religion, always trying to do something to save himself. You couldn't do one thing to save yourself. You're just as hopeless as you can be. That's right. God has to save you. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. You can't be a daughter unless God has foreordained you to be so. And when he comes, I'll in no wise cast him out. I'll give him everlasting life, raise him up to the last days. The biggest trouble there is in the church today is a bunch of fear. People's always scared, and that's of the devil. Don't be scared, be brave. Don't have nothing to be, ain't nothing to be afraid about. We'll get into that this coming week, you see, in there. We'll bring God on down and see what he was. So you can see, when man marred himself, he sinned. And then the only way it was is for God to be manifested here on earth in a body of flesh to take away the sin out of that man and bring him back in fellowship with God, makes him a son of God again. It's the only way he can be. Now, when he brought the children of Israel out of the wilderness, out into the wilderness, he led them by a pillar of fire. Is that right? The Bible said he did. And he went before them. That was the anointing, the Holy Spirit, Christ, that went before the children of Israel. Well, if he's the same as he was then, he's the same man, the same person. He's everything that he was then. He is now. And as he led the church then in the natural, he's leading the church today in the spiritual. Is that right? Do you believe that we're in the wilderness? We are. Are we on the road to the promised land? Now, when they got over to Canaan, it did not represent heaven. They had wars in Canaan and so forth. It represented the millennium, you see. So we're going into that. And we're on our road now to the millennium. I believe it. Now, I believe the same Jesus Christ that led back there leads today. He's in a spiritual form. I came from God. I go to God. A little while the world seeth no more, yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Is that right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, then if he is, then he's going to make himself manifested and known. Now, some time ago, coming through here, all of you know the story. Now, please, dear Christian friend, God, who is my sovereign judge, this Bible over my heart, and Lord, I may have to stand before Him in judgment before morning. See, I only say this in a humble way, that you might thoroughly understand that we're the church, the people, is not trying to deceive anybody. We know what the truth is, and we're trying to get it to you. The only thing to rob you from it is the devil. That's all. Now, just to confirm your faith, I want to use this for proof to show you that it's the truth. Now, God leading His church today, now on the road. Now, when I come out, when I was a little bitty boy, my mother told me when I was about 3 minutes old, born in a family which did not go to church formally, back behind that was Catholic, but they never went to church. That morning up there in the mountains when they opened up the cabin door, little old door, it wasn't a window, it was a little door you pushed out, didn't have any glass in it. Pushed it out, a light about so big around, come whirling in, and went out on the bed where Mother was holding me in her arms. That's unadulterated, that's without unmerited grace, that was God. Nothing you can do or nothing I can do, that's God's plan. It's got to be just what He said. He's determined. If you notice gifts and callings without repentance, you believe that? Here, Jesus Christ was a woman's seed from the Garden of Eden, was promised. You believe that? Was I think she'll bruise and serve. Moses, he couldn't help because he was Moses. He was born Moses. Is that right? John the Baptist, 712 years before he was born, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness by Isaiah the prophet. Is that right? Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, said, before you was born, I knew you and sanctified you and ordained you a prophet over the nations before you even come from your mother's womb. Who taking thought can add one cubit to his statue? See? You have to go on back and say it's the sovereign grace of God. Now notice, then when a little bitty fella, then the Holy Spirit spoke and said, don't never smoke, chew, or drink, defile your body in any way. There's a word for you do when you get older. And then many times and down through life, I try to tell people with the sincerity of my heart, and they would misunderstand it. They called it everything in the world. But one night up down in Greensville, Indiana, to a cave where I was at in a place, the angel of the Lord appeared and said, you're to go pray for sick people. And told me what would take place. And said, do not fear, I'll be with you. I took off and come through the country and down through Jonesboro, telling what he said was and what would come to pass. And it's been that way and proved now plumb around the world. And I was a young Baptist preacher, baptized my first convert, 500 of them down on the river, my first revival. I had about 3,000 attended the revival. And my education was so poor to my girlfriend read the Bible while I preached. That's right. It's not much better tonight. But God's not known by education. God's known by faith. God's not known by knowledge. There was two trees in the Garden of Eden. One of them was the tree of knowledge, the other the tree of life. Man left the tree of life to eat the tree of knowledge. And he separated himself from God, and ever since then, by knowledge, he's drove himself away from God. God's not known by knowledge. He's known by faith. That's right. Now, I want you to notice, then, coming along, I was in Texas, and there was a man by the name of Mr. Best, Dr. Best. I was having a nice revival, about 8,000 people attended, and Dr. Best put a piece of paper and said, that religious fanatic, William Branham, imposed himself as the man of God, ought to be run out of this city and ought to be the guy to do it. Well, Brother Bosworth come to me, one of the managers, and said, look here, Brother Branham. And he dared me and challenged me and everything to debate the subject. Well, I wasn't going to fuss with him. I don't believe in fussing. God sent me to pray for the sick, to preach the gospel. There's thousands that will believe it. Why stand with one fanatic who don't believe it? That's right. Let him alone. They say they'd be blind leaders of the blind. Let him go on. See? Some man was foreordained to that condemnation. The Bible said so. Can't be saved. Blinded from the beginning. Born to be blind. We'll get that this next week. That didn't go very good, but I'll prove it to you by the scriptures. It's the truth. And they'll absolutely be religious teachers, fundamental as they can be. That's exactly right. Never know more about God than a Hottentot would know about Egyptian night. But they know all the fundamentals, the keynotes and everything, but know nothing about God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Divine healing and power of the Holy Spirit and everything. Church, you got something, but you just don't know what to do with it. That's all. It's true. Now, notice this. And then, brother, the second day, he said, it shows that what kind of a something they're made out of, paid ad in the paper, showed what they're made out of, they're afraid to examine their divine healing by the light of the Word of God. So then, Mr. Bosworth comes and said, Brother Branham, for our prestige before the people, you've got to take it up. I said, Brother Bosworth, there's about 8,000 people there. There's about 7,000 of them to be prayed for. I said, I got two more days to stay here in Houston. Why fool with that crank when we can go here and be praying for the sick people? I said, I don't fool it. He said, Brother Branham, let me do it. And I thought, 75 years old, I thought of Caleb when he said, I'm 80 today and I'm just as good a man as I was when Joshua put the sword in my hand. I admired the old man. I said, well, Brother Bosworth, I admire you, brother. He said, that man hasn't got one leg to stand on or one scripture. He said, let me prove it to him. And I said, if you promise me that you won't fuss, he said, I promise you. I won't fuss. I said, all right. So then he goes down. They wouldn't let the reporters stay in the Rice Hotel. They wouldn't let the reporters come to the door. So he went out and seen the reporters. He said, Brother Branham won't fuss with him. I said, but he said, I'll stand it. So then, of course, the Houston Chronicle, great big headlines, ecclesiastical fur will fly, you know. So that is set the debate. And that's where it comes to show to me that all you Pentecostal groups of people who fuss about your little doctrines and things, some of these days they'll be shook out of you. Right. You're one big church, brother. Right. Your little points don't mean nothing in the sight of God. You're one big church of God. Notice, then they didn't care whether he was riding a one-hump camel or a two-hump camel or a three-hump camel or the fourth rain, fifth rain, latter rain, middle rain, or what rain it was. They were one thing. They believed in divine healing, and they all run together, and that big coliseum, about 30,000 packed out. They come in airplanes from everywhere and everything. Drove in and take it all night at a time. What was it? The thing that their Lord had taught was at stake, and they was ready to stand their grounds. There it was. It went on the Associated Press, and people flew in from way up in the east and way in the west and everywhere. They packed that big coliseum out. And that night, my brother said, now, you're not going down. I said, I know it. I don't want to go down there. So Siren Tsar was leading us singing. But when it come time to go, something just told me to go down there anyhow. So I tucked my coat and pulled it up over my shoulders like this, over my head. Went out, wife and I, we went way up. I went up Balcony 30. Have you ever been in the Sam Houston Coliseum? I was way up like this. Nobody noticed up there but the two police that tucked me up, my wife and my brother. And we were sitting up there, and Mr. Bosworth, they had all the ministers lined up. And so Mr. Ramsar was leading the singing. He said, well, the next is the main event of the evening. He said, I understand. I've seen the paper around here where that a certain fellow wanted to run William Branham out of the city. He said, I think if you people of Houston would take more time running bootleggers out of the city, you wouldn't, man of God, your city would be better off. And there was a scream went all over the whole building. I know Mr. Beth was gone. So I just sat there. And Dr. Bosworth got to the platform, and they made him get up first. He said, Mr. Beth, I have 600 Bible questions sitting here. Wrote out on this piece of paper that proves that Christ's present attitude towards the sick is just the same as it was in the beginning when he was here on earth. Said, if you can take any one of the 600 and disprove it by the Word of God, I'll walk off the platform. 600. And said, if you can give me one scripture in the whole Bible that says that his attitude towards the sick isn't just the same today, then I'll walk off the platform. That's pretty gallant. So he handed over. Mr. Best said, I'll take care of that when I get up there. And he said, just show me. Just show me one scripture. And so he wouldn't do it. He said, well, then, Brother Best, I'm going to ask you one question. And here's what he asked him. He said, was the redemptive names of Jehovah applied to Jesus, yes or no? Answer that, yes or no, and I'll walk off the platform. Mr. Best wouldn't answer him because he couldn't. Was the redemptive name of Jehovah applied to Jesus, yes or no? If he was Jehovah Jireh, if he wasn't Jehovah Jireh, then he's not God's provided sacrifice and he wasn't the Son of God. And if he was Jehovah Jireh, he's also Jehovah Rapha, the healer, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That settled it forever. He just slobbered his mouth and got up, walked up and down the platform four or five times and slapped the preacher in the mouth. Start a little fuss. So when he did, he said, bring forth that divine healer. So let me see him heal somebody. And Mr. Bosworth said, shame on you, Mr. Beth. Said, if Brother Branham preaching divine healing makes him a divine healer, if you preach salvation, makes you a divine savior. Said, you wouldn't want to be called a divine savior? Said, and you're not. Said, but he ain't a divine healer because he preaches divine healing. Said, Christ is the healer, and Christ is the Savior. We only point it by the Word, and that's what you and I are here tonight to find out whether it's in the Word or not. Says, then I want you to show me that it's not in the Word. He just thought we was a bunch of holy rollers or fanatics, but he found out we're not lost in the fog. You know where we're at. So then, he walked up and down the floor, and Raymond Ritchie said, asked the moderator, said, I have a word? He said, I happen to see about a dozen Baptist ministers sitting there. He said, now I know the president of the conference, convention is sitting here. Called him a name. He said, is this the attitude of the Southern Baptist Convention towards divine healing? So he wasn't answering. So he said, did Mr. Beth come here on his own, or did this Southern Baptist Convention send him here? Said, and the moderator told him to sit down. He said, sir, you give me the floor. And I'm asking a question that hasn't been answered. So he held his ground. And he said, well, they said, we didn't send him there. Mr. Beth come on his own. He knows better. 30,000 people sitting here. So he said, no, they didn't. Mr. Beth didn't come on his own. All right. It was okay then. He said, I just want to know. So he sat down. So then Mr. Beth jumped up and said, let me see that divine healer. Mr. Bosworth said, why, he is a divine healer. Said his books are translated about 17 different languages. Never has he said he's a divine healer. He just prays for the sick. Christ is the healer. He said, well, you got signs up, miracles every night. And Brother Bosworth said, sure, because a miracle is something that cannot be figured out by human mind. And said, in the supernatural realm, said he has a gift that knows and foretells and tells the saints even weeks and months and so forth ahead. And said it never fails to be just that way. So that is a miracle. Well, he couldn't say anything about that. Said, according to Mr. Webster, if you want to discuss about it, or fucks with him. So then he said, bring him forth and let me see him perform a miracle. Let me see it last a year. So he just worked up your mind. Said, nothing but a bunch of holy rollers like around here says the only thing believes in the divine healing. Said, true Baptists don't believe it. He said, I beg your pardon. Brother Branham happens to have a membership card in his pocket right now. He belongs to the Missionary Baptist Church. The Baptist Church is sovereign. Whatever your congregation will stand where you're preaching, that's all right with the convention. So he said, I said, just a bunch of backsliders, so forth, is the only ones that believe that. Said, a bunch of holy rollers. Said, true Baptists don't believe it. Mr. Bosworth said, just a moment. He said, how many in this audience that's got membership in these Baptist churches and good fellowship with the church, good standing, that's been healed these last 10 days since Brother Branham's been here, could stand and testify and show by your doctor and everything that you are well willing to go before a doctor to show that you're healed? How many in here has been healed in Brother Branham's meeting? If members of these churches, of these men that's sitting here, stand to your feet, and 300 stood up. So what about that? He said, anybody can testify of anything, I still don't make it wrong. He started off the platform, said, bring me that divine healer here, let me see. Just kept saying that. Just off. He just told that day, he said, I'm going to take that old man, and I'm going to skin him, and take his skin and rub salt in it and put it on my study door for a commemoration of divine healing. Could you imagine a brother saying that about another one? Go show where it comes from, see. A man saying that, that brother. Well, that's all right. Notice, he's just out of a cemetery, seminary. All right. Anyhow, he knowed all the angles, know nothing about God. And then when he did that, he hired the Douglas Studios of Houston, Texas, which is a member of the American Photographer Association, to come over and take six glosses of him while he skinned the old man so he could put it in the... So the man that was going to take the pictures was a critic too. So he got out there and posed like this with his fingers sticking in Brother Bosworth's face. And now I get my picture like this. And Brother Bosworth stood there. He stuck his finger in his face. Then he posed again like this, you know. He put his finger in his face like that. I was skinning him. Well, the photographer took his pictures and all. When he all got out and everything like that, there stood the Look, Life, and Times, and their magazines and the reporters all standing there, around there. So just then, when the meeting was fixed in, he said, now look. He said, I know this. He said that Brother Branham is in the building. He said, if he wants to come and dismiss the audience, all right, but I won't expose him if not. And my brother said, now you sit still. I said, I'm sitting still, ain't I? So I just sat there. He said, now if you guys want to, said, I know he's in the building, but if he wants to come, I stay there. I thought, well, I'm sitting still. And the police looked over to me. Said, I sat there. I heard something going. I know what I couldn't sit still. Something just said, stand up. Said again, stand up. I stood up. Howard said, sit down. My wife said, don't, Howard. Look, changes my expression. I said, don't. And the people looked up that way, began screaming and crying. About 300 or 400 ushers stole their hands together to make a line for the poor people who was trying to touch my clothes. Coming down along that banister down through this way, walked up the platform. I said, I'm sorry that these things have to happen, and don't no one feel hard, Mr. Beth. I said, truly, he's got a right to his ideas the same as I have mine. That's why the boys are fighting in Korea. I said, for the American freedom of speech. I said, I don't believe he's sincere as he said he was, because he told these people he felt sorry for them. And there sit some of their kind, and the doctors have done all they can do for these people who are going to die in a few days. And there they are, some have sat here last week, is back there well today. And now he's trying to rob them from the only hope that they have of ever being well. And then saying you'd be sincere. I can't believe that. I said, however, I only testify the truth. I am not a healer. I said, I tell the truth. And if I tell the truth, God will testify the truth. He never will testify of a lie. I said, God will always stand by the truth. And if I say, if I tell the truth, then God will... And about that time, something went... Whew. Here come the angel of the Lord coming down to the building. Moving down. Silence went over the audience. The photographer wasn't supposed to take any pictures, but a regular routine to form him out shot the picture. I said, the Lord has spoken. I'll have no more to say. Walked out of the building. Police take me on. I got in the car and went up. Mr. Kipperman's studio, they went home, taking their pictures home. Around the studio, the Douglas studios. So they went down there to develop pictures, and this one of us a Catholic. And he said, you know, maybe I, in the day paper before all my, he said I was a hypnotizer and everything. Mr. Iris. And he said, you know, I might be wrong. So that boy's back parents were Catholic. That might be a divine gift. If it is, that boy's headed for the Catholic Church. He said, of course, they believe all gifts come to the church, but, you know. So then he said, maybe I've misjudged the boy. And he went home, and Mr. Kipperman went upstairs in the studio, and Mr. Irish put the pictures in to be developed. He said, Mr. Vance will want these pictures tomorrow, so we'll just put them in the acid and get the proofs for him for tomorrow. So he put him in there and he sat there and smoked a cigarette. He was thinking about it. When he went, Mr. Kipperman come down, and when he went to take in the dark room to get the pictures out, the first one he took, Mr. Beth, blank. Second one, blank. Third, blank. Fourth, fifth, sixth, every one of them, blank. Not a one of them with his poses with his finger. And that saintly old man's face, Mr. Bosworth. Not a one of them. And when he pulled the next one out, he had a heart attack. There was the angel of the Lord on the picture. They called for me. I couldn't come to him. Immediately at 11 o'clock, they rushed it away to Washington, D.C. for a copyright. Brought it back and sent it over to California for George J. Lacey. If anybody knows anything about photography, know George J. Lacey. He's the head of the FBI, fingerprint, and so forth. Best there is in the world. He had it 3 days in the Shell building. On the third day, he said for his show to us. He didn't give us what he thought it was. They went to the room, they done everything, they took the camera, the negative, and everything. He put it under all kind of lights. He come out kind of a red-headed fella, very hard-boiled. Walked out, said, whose name's Branham? Is this about as many sitting as there is right in this middle aisle here? I was back towards back, I said, mine? He said, stand up. I stood up. He said, Mr. Branham, said, you're going to pass out this life like all mortals. I said, I'm aware of that, sir, but I thank God that Jesus Christ has taken my place in death. He said, come forward. And I walked up. He said, Reverend Branham, I've heard of your meetings, and I said it was psychology. As the people imagine they saw that light. He said, I've said the same thing. He said, my mother was an old Christian woman.
He said, but let me tell you, Reverend Branham, that mechanical eye of that camera will not take psychologists. He said, it's a genuine supernatural being, and the only time in all the world's history that a picture like that was ever taken. He said, the old hypocrite can never say no more that there's no such a thing as scientific proof of a supernatural being, for this has been talked to every tester is, and said, I submit it to you. And he gave it to me, and I give it over to the American Photographer Association, and they fixed it so it couldn't be sold for too much. He said, Reverend Branham, before you leave, everybody was crying. He said, before you leave, someday, when you pass away from this life, he said, that picture will be on 10-cent store shelves. He said, because it's the only thing that we've ever had our hands on that we could prove that was an actual supernatural being set around the Savior, the saints, they painted like. He said, and they said that was psychology, the unbeliever, but said, I believe it was there. He said, this is not psychology. The mechanical eye of that camera, I didn't take it. That way. And he said, for, I say, for the sacredness of the picture, I'll write you a little statement. You give my statement concerning it. And I submit it to them, and there's the picture. It's a milling fire about so big around. I want you, after the service is over, come up here and look at it. I wish I have a bunch of them. If you just write to my office up home, I think you'd give about 50 cents a piece for them. They'll stand up here with his writing on it, whatever it is. Now, it's not nothing in the, we don't, nothing in the picture, because if Jesus Christ thought enough of me to come down and have his picture taken to the sign of it for the first time in all the world's history, I love him too much to commercialize his picture. You know that. That's right. See? Now, there it is. I just borrowed this one from Mr. Shevlin, and while Reverend here is, and I gave it to him the other day, and I want you to see it. Look at it, the milling fire. Now, what is that? A pillar of fire led the children of Israel. And the same pillar of fire was among those people, is among this people now. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? And when Christ is here on earth, he did claim to heal people. He knows the secrets of their hearts and so forth. Is that right? And he's doing the same work right here at Jonesboro, Arkansas, right in this little group of people that he did back there. There it is, the same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Jesus Christ that led the children of Israel is leading the Pentecostal church. There it is, the proof of it, scientifically and by signs and wonders. Oh, why do you fear anymore? Why do you wonder? Rise and be healed. Believe on the Lord. Don't be smothered down. Satan will keep blinders before you as long as he can. Don't set asleep, friend. The greatest thing in all the world is right here with us in this latter day. Here it is, proved by signs and wonders. Here it is, proved by scientific. And if I die tonight, my testimony rings clear through the scientific world and through this Christian world tonight that I've told the truth by God's word. That's right. Thousands times thousands and tens of thousands and yes, millions of saints have stood. That angel come here on the platform last night and stood right here, and a woman in this audience seen him come in before I even mentioned it. And he's not 10 foot from this platform right now. This same angel of God. That's true. Now, friends, look. Look where it's went to. Look where it's gone all over the world. What it is. See, get all the fear and everything out of your mind. Just love the Lord with all your heart and serve him and believe him, and God will bring it to pass. How he leads, you believe those that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Do you believe that? Just one little incident that happened right here in your neighborhood. I'm going to tell this before I close. Look, one day I was coming from Dallas, Texas. I come from here, coming through Jonesboro, and a big storm forced the plane down. And I landed and over here at Memphis, Tennessee. I was on the road home, so they put us up down there in that big, fine hotel. Peabody. That's right, Peabody. I see who you are. I didn't know who the lady was. All right, the Peabody Hotel. I couldn't afford to stay in a hotel like that. They put me up there, the airline. And they told me, they called me the next morning. And the next morning early, I got up, the sun was ready to come up. And I had wrote some letters, and I just thought I'd run down to the post office real quick or find some place to mail it. And I got out of the hotel and started walking down the street. And I was walking down the street singing that little Pentecostal song y'all sing. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with a fire that fell on Pentecost that cleansed and made them clean. It's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. You remember the little song? And so I was going on humming that little song. I thought, now I just about got it. I thought they were gathered in the upper room all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. What He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I had my letters in my hand. I was just a stepping down the street. I started across the street, and when I did, something said, stop. I thought, stop. It was Him. I thought, well, and I walked, and I walked. I was going to ask somebody where the post office was. And I just kept walking, walked right on by the hotel. I just kept walking. I didn't know where I was going. Just kept on walking, 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 walking. After a while, I come plumb back out into the colored district. Well, the sun was way up. The plane was going to leave about 8 o'clock. So I knowed I was late, and I kept looking at my watch. He just kept saying, walk on. I just kept walking. And I kept on to come way down in some little place near the river or something. There's a lot of colored shacks along there, where colored people live in shacks, rather. And I was going along there. And it was a beautiful, it was early in spring. The sun was just shining down. The sweet smell of roses around the door, you know, was blooming up. And I was walking along there, and I was singing, and humming in my heart, going, only believe, all things are possible. I said, Lord, my plane's going to leave. Only believe, only believe, only believe. Just walk on. I said, all things are possible. Only believe. I thought, where does He want me to go? I've been walking for all 15, 20 minutes. And I just kept on walking. Only believing. I looked at a little old gate down there, a little old place where a little old shanty light sitting there. I seen an old typical angel mama leaning over the gate with a man's shirt tied around her head. Leaning over the gate, the tears are running down her cheeks. I was as far as the end of the building there from her. I just quit singing. You know, I wasn't singing. I was humming. I just started walking on. She said, good morning, Parson. I said, how do you do, Nanny? I go, Parson? I turned around and said, how'd you know I was a parson? She said, I know who you was. I said, I don't understand. I said, do you know me? She said, no, sir. She says, but the... I was going to tell you my story. I said, all right. And I stopped. And she said, did you ever read in the Bible about the Shunammite woman who received a child after she was old? And Elijah the prophet told her. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was that kind of woman. Yeah. Said, I promised the Lord if He'd give me a baby, that I would raise him to His glory. And said, the Lord give me a baby. And said Parson, said, I raised the baby, said, I've always been a Christian, and I've served the Lord all my life. God of heaven, who had ground a plane for a niggard washwoman down there, Sovereign Grace, went walking on. I said, what? She said, Parson, would you come into my house? And look, there's an old piece of iron hanging on the gate that pulled it back. I walked into that little whitewashed fence, into a door with no rug on the floor. A little sign up on the door said, God bless our home. I walked in there. I've walked into king's palaces, three of them. I've been to the richest homes there is in America. I never was more welcome in any place than I was in that little colored haunt that morning. Never felt any more at home. I walked in there, and there's a great big burly-looking colored boy laying there about 18 years old. With a blanket in his hand, going, It's so dark, so dark. So dark. So dark. She said he's been staying there for several days. Said he's in it unconscious. He says he's been talking about being out on the sea. It's so dark he don't know where he's going. Said, Parson, I don't want to see my baby dying like that. So she reached over and kissed him on his head, patted his cheek, said, Mammy's baby. There you are, mother's love. No matter what he had done, that's still that mother's love reaches on out for her child. And if a mother's love would do that, what would the love of God do? She patted him. I said, Auntie, could we have prayer? And that old saint of God knelt down there, who had made her living over a washboard. She prayed a prayer, brother, that would kill you through and through. She said, Lord,
don't let my baby die. She said, I don't understand it. Nothing about your possum here. Said, I was praying. You told me for him to come. Maybe he pray, and then you'll save my baby. Said, I don't want him to die like this. Dear Lord, I thank you. I know you're here. And when she got you praying, I was standing there crying. Listen at her. So I walked over and I put my hand on his feet, just as cold as it could be. Death was on the boy if I ever seen death. And I stood back a little bit. I said, let's pray again, Annie. I got on and I said, dear Lord, I don't know why you sent me down here, but you grounded that plane last night and sent me down. I went to the post office this morning and you sent me back down here. I stopped here. I don't know why. But Lord, I ask you to be merciful now. If you sent me here to fulfill your mission, I'll lay my hands upon his legs like this and ask you, dear God, if you'll spare his life, if you'll grant it. And I asked that, and what I did, he was going, said, Mammy, Mammy, oh, Mammy. She said, it's the first time he's called me. She raised up to get a wiper on. Said, Mammy, it's getting light in the room. It's getting light in the room. 5 minutes from then, the boy was sitting on the side of the bed. About 2 months to 3 months from then, a little later, I was coming through on a train, making my way to Phoenix, Arizona. I stopped, you know how the trains pull in, and I went up there in a little restaurant to get something to eat. I heard somebody holler, Parson Bram! And I looked, and here he was, he's a red cap down there. He said, you remember me? I said, no, sir. He said, I was the boy that was dying down there that morning when the Lord sent you down with my answer, my mammy's prayer. He said, he not only healed me, but he saved me. He said, I was full of the Holy Ghost now. Hallelujah! What is it? Same Holy Spirit, brother, sister, thousands of those things. I wish I had time to go in to tell you what's happened around the country of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same angel of God's right here in this building tonight. Do you believe it? Let's bow our heads. Talk to you in just a moment. Father, it would take hours, yes, weeks, to sell what you've done in that manner in the last 5 or 6 years. Time is passing on, oh. Soon I got to come down to the river. Help me then, Lord. I don't want no trouble at the river. I want to be ready that morning. All those crowds are waiting for their boat to come across. Ask me my word to you. You can ask what you will and it'll be given unto you. These are your promises, Lord. And I stand here tonight before this audience of people. I thank thee. Oh, God, I thank you that thou hast seen fit to take the low things of this world. Poor man, unworthy, guilty sinners, and wash them in the blood of that Holy One. Set them out here as a purchase of your blood. Give us the morning star, the pillar of fire to lead us. Though we be outcasts, though we be called fanatics, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus who suffer persecution, we're happy tonight that we can be considered that way for the kingdom of God's sake. God, take all fear out of these sick people's hearts tonight. Let them know that thou art here. You're only doing these things to prove that you're with them. The scientific world knows it tonight. The church knows it tonight. Lord, it had been sin for us to doubt your word. Help us, Lord, forgive our sin of unbelief, which is the original and only sin. God, help us tonight to be faithful in belief. Heal every sick person. Save the lost tonight, Lord. May there be some here that doesn't know thee. Alien from God, cut off without Christ, without God. I pray that you'll save them just now. May every backslider come back to God through Christ. While we have our heads bowed, if God will hear my prayer, give visions. He stopped me then in my prayer and said, for me to ask something. While you're praying, all Christians, is there a man or woman in here that doesn't know Christ yet and hasn't been born again? Raise your hand and say, Brother Graham, pray for me. I want God to give me the experience of being born again. God bless you. God bless you. You. Anywhere over in the wing, God bless you. God bless you. Back in the second wing, God bless you. You. Back in the back of the building, God bless you. You. I see your hands there. Yes. Someone else say, Brother Bam, I need Christ. I know it. The Holy Spirit told me to do this. God bless you. God bless you, brother. I see your hands. Back over to my right, this right row. Any back there, say, Brother Bram, pray for me. God bless you, lady. I see you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you. I see you. You back there, young lady. I see you. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sir. You, sister. God bless you. God bless you. You. That's the same angel of God that I showed his picture right here. That's the one's talking to you now. See what he does? I pray that God will pray to you now. Now, Heavenly Father, their hearts are hungry. May they accept Thee just now as their personal Savior. May something be done just now at the end of this service. May they go into the room here and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Lord. We thank Thee for their hands, raised up their sincerity, and pray that You'll bless every one of them. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. How wonderful. This is the way I like to feel the Spirit of God when it's coming time for the healing service. Mellow. I'm just old-fashioned. I like the old weeping, down, broke down so God can hold you anew. I like that. Poor old woman sitting here crying, wiping the tears from her eyes. God bless you, lady. A little shawl over her shoulder like a typical little old mother. Something about the little thing, too. Look up this way just a minute, lady. She's praying here with your mission for her. Oh. It troubles that place on your nose, isn't it? That place on your nose. I tell you what happened. You have a lot of troubles you're worried about. Isn't that right? You were once healed of that. Is that right? Yes, sir. And you got a bunch of unbelievers. Is that right? Cause you to go back and that thing come again. You just have faith in God and it'll leave. Look, you have something you're bothered with too. I notice you lay things down and forget what you do with it. You kind of got a loss of memory. Isn't that right? If that's right, raise up your hand. So that's right. I see you lay things down and can't find them again. Isn't that right?
That's right.
I'm not reading your mind. But you couldn't hide your life now. And you just have faith in God. I'll watch while we're praying for the sick. Maybe the Lord will give me a word for you. He's here. The angel of the Lord is right here now.
Where's Billy? What prayer card did you get?
1 to 50. Let's take the first 15 of them and stand them up right quick, will. T. Prayer cards T.
Is that?
Look over on, you'll see my picture and your name on one side. On the other side, it's got a number and a letter. It's got T. One. Who's got T? One. Prayer card T. One. T. Two, three, four, five, six. On up to about first 15 of them if you can. Or get 10 of them. See what you get first 10. You know.
While those are coming, whose names have been called, I've been asked
someone has parked their car in the ambulance drive at the back. It's a gray Ford, 51 Ford, license number 129526. Will you please move your car out of the ambulance drive at once?
I wish this audience could see this. The whole room is becoming milky. It's like milk. Oh, friends, I'm telling you the truth. God vindicates it with His Spirit. And this is the same angel of God. The same pillar of fire who stood upon the Lord Jesus Christ in His person and knew the thoughts of the people and done the things. Here it is, the same Jesus Christ. Have faith tonight. Wonder if we could just stand a minute slowly with your head bowed and saying, only believe, just for a change of posture, if you would. Just a moment. Now hum it with me while the boys are lining up the prayer lines. Look this way. Raise up your hand. Now sing it like this with me. I'm not going to tell you, Lord, but now I believe. Now. God, I won't answer while I do now. Happened in the church just then. I told Brother Reed, if you have faith now, believe with all your heart now while I'm praying for our sake. I be God's servant. God will speak now that I've told the truth. If I tell the truth, God will speak it's the truth. If I don't tell the truth about Him, God will not speak for it. For God will only speak for truth. Have faith in God. This is. Just want to talk to you in a minute, Paul.
see that you are Christian truly. You know, but yet you're a seed of one another. I don't know you, but look, I have seen you, I don't know you. All your strangers. That I want you, you're conscious that something's going on. You're aware that something is new. Well, here's what it is. I want you to believe with all your heart. And see, that just happened to be that I was telling the truth. That's why he was there. He's with the church every. But do you believe me to be the same? I believe that. If I be his servant, if there's anything I could do to help you, brother, I'd do it. I'd just go right quick and do it. But I can't, you see, I'm just a man. But being his servant, it's just like that light. Now, if the lights would go off here, or you'd come over tomorrow night and snap the lights on, and they wouldn't come on, you wouldn't say there was no such thing as electricity. You'd say the wires was crossed up somewhere, the reason you couldn't get light. Well, it may be the same thing here. It may be that something's wrong and I can't get in contact with God for you. But if the light shines, God has to turn it on. I can't do it. I can't do it. But he has never failed me. And I don't believe he's failed me. Now, if God would reveal to me something about your life before I pray for him, to let you know that he's standing here present. Here's his picture. And his presence, and you're conscious of something here. A feeling of like all reverence. Isn't that right? Now, if that's right, hold up your hand so that people can know that's the truth. Now, that is the only thing that can help you. You're suffering with something in a kidney trouble, isn't it? Kidney trouble? And you've been to a doctor, and it was a bladder, too. And he told you that when he shook his head, he's in doubt about something. Isn't that right? And it might be cancer, I believe. Is that right? You also have heart trouble. Is that right? This that went from before me then. Was that the truth? If it was the truth, what I said, raise up your hand. And you believe he's standing here?
Yes.
He knows everything about you?
Amen.
Your sins are under the blood, so there's nothing against you.
Amen.
Do you have faith to believe?
Yes.
Come here. Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, author of everlasting life, on this dying child of yours, Lord, I lay my hand and ask for rebuke that this devil that's trying to take his life and send him to a premature grave will leave him. And may he get well, Lord. I bless him for his healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you, sir. I go rejoicing, so let us share how you're getting moved. I just be ready. Don't doubt. Have faith. Do not think that I'm not aware of where I am, but it's just moving all through the building. Oh, what a night. How people could be blessed that if they would. Come here. Do you believe? With all your heart?
I don't know you. What's your name? Young. I'm glad to meet you. But do you believe that you're standing in the presence of His healing? Is that what you feel? It's not because your brother's standing there. It's because he's standing there. Do you believe that? Now, I'm a stranger to you. I never saw you in my life. But if there's anything in your life, it'll have to come from God. Is that right? And if He reveals it to me, then if I be His prophet, He can tell me anything He desires to say. Is that right? You're really sicker than what you think you are. You have tumors. That's in the female ovary. You've examined for that. And that's what you said. Is that true? It left me just then. Something has taken place and I couldn't catch it just right. Somebody right there was tumor too. He's hinted. And I mentioned that move from one to the other. I want to talk to you again just a moment. You have a nervous condition also. Isn't that right? Stomach trouble. And your nervousness is causing your stomach. And you're a person that does a lot of worry. But look, you get really nervous sometimes, don't you? There's some time ago you were washing dishes and almost dropped a dish. Remember that? And then you were praying by the side when you heard that I was being healed. You asked God if you could get along with me to get you healed. Is that right? You said that to Him to the side of the... Is that right? Now do you believe that? No one in the world could hear that prayer but God alone. Is that true? Now do you believe? My sister, I bless thee for thy healing. Believer, in Christ, receive your healing in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May you go from here and get well. Amen. Now, if you believe this, now your whole trouble has been come on you recently because it's getting the time of life, it caused you to be nervous and upset. Now you leave from here. If God could reveal to me what your past life has been, I don't remember just now what it was. It's a vision. And if He could tell you what you've been in your past life, won't He know what will be in your future life? If He could let me know that, won't He let me know what will be? If you can go from here tonight in a happy, rejoicing spirit and thank God and just be happy and throw the thing away, you're going to get all right. Our passion for one day is to go on that. How do you do? Are we strangers? Yes. You've seen me since I've been here this time. You're the piano player, you said. The piano player. And but I need to be, I'm not a personal acquaintance of yours, know nothing about you. Do you believe me to be God's servant? The reason I asked that, He told me to do it. I asked the people. Well now, to heal you, sister, I couldn't do it. For I'm just a man. But for your life, God knows that. Of course, I see you're wearing glasses. Anyone would know that. Just like if I'd say that man sitting there is crippled, anybody would know that if they look at him. But a person that looks as healthy as you do, and there's something wrong with him, then that's the difference. That's the unseen part. But You have astigmatism in your eyes. In your cause, you have headaches and things all the time. Isn't that right? You have severe headaches all the time. You're worried about this child, too. You come from early losing the child, isn't it? And the baby, the trouble of it is, it's what, I'm not reading your mind, but that baby can't walk. He's getting past age and he can't walk. Is that right? You believe me to be God's prophet? You believe I ask God then the blessing, the curse will go away and blessings will come? Come for me. Almighty God, I lay hands upon the woman, upon the baby. Bless her through her name. May the baby and she be blessed. God bless you. But God, the Lord blesses and rewards you for your faith. Now, if I be God's prophet, and Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, if that same pillar of fire that led the children through the wilderness came upon the Son of God and led him, and he claimed he could do nothing but what the Father showed him, then he's the same one today. Is that right? If I know you now, and he be here and you and I talking, you'll be just like the woman at the well and the master talking to her. He couldn't heal her, but he found out where her trouble was. Is that right? Well, I claim that he is the same yesterday and forever, that he brought me into this world for a purpose, raised up to bless the people in a manner of the divine gift which is ministered to me by an angel. You believe that truly? You believe that to be true? There's something peculiar about your life. I can't strike it yet. It keeps moving and it gets dark and moves away from me. I just want to talk to you. Yes, I see you. Yes, ma'am. You have retro trouble for one thing. Isn't that right? Sorry, very much so. Some sort of a kidney disablement. Something in the gland there. And then another thing, here's something, I might as well say it. You have a habit that you're trying to lay down. Isn't that right? Smoking cigarettes. Is that right? God, be merciful to you. Come here. Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting life, seeing that poor woman in that vision lay them things down and try to walk away from them, cry and go back and get them. I pray for mercy for this poor soul. O thou unclean spirit that would bind this woman in the form of a tobacco habit, come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave the woman. Now, my sister, you're free from it now. Go smoke no more. Those other things will clear up. You're all right now. Go in the Lord. Bless you. Praise the Lord. All blessings come. Glory.
How do you do, sir? I believe we are strangers, sir. We are. We're strangers. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? I don't say that for... I'm only trying to help you. You see, brother, you understand. Have you read that little book of you've got your pocket? Then you understand what's going on now, don't you? Would you like to eat again, have a good stomach and eat like you used to? Do you believe in me, God's prophet? Then go through what I tell you to eat anything you want to. When I said that to that man, you quivered all over, didn't you? Because you had the same thing. Just go on, eat your supper. Have faith. The very God of heaven's in your presence. Are you in his presence? The very one that said to the woman, "Thy sins be forgiven." How do you do, lady? Are we strangers? When you 5 years ago, when we share, I saw you. Went through a line or something. You see me. Between you and I comes a dark shadow. It's shaking and jumping. There's only one thing to mean that. That's a demon. And that's a demon of nervousness. Is that right? You think sometimes that you've lost your mind. Isn't that right? But he's a liar. He's not. You're just as sane as anybody else. But he's trying to get you down, really. Don't you pay no attention to that. You believe me to be a servant? Look, let me tell you something. You've tried so long, you even get one case you thought if you just like you cut your foot, you could start from there. Isn't that right? I'm not reading your mind, but you was praying about that. That's right. You said it many times in your thoughts, see there, if I could just get one place to start from, is that this is your starting place right here. How you doing, God first? Thou devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're exposed. Come out, old woman. Leave her. That they come, lady. How do you do, lady? You were healed the same time she was. You had the same thing, nervousness. Is that right? You're healed. Have faith in God. Believe with all your heart. That light keeps hanging in that corner there for some cause. Every time he leaves a patient, he goes to that corner. Just a while ago, it went over the audience, come back and stop right there in the corner. Every time it leaves a patient here, it seems to go right to that corner, but I can't see what it is. So be praying. I don't know. I'll be reverent. You have no right to disbelieve God anymore. You have no right. A woman sitting in sorrow, isn't she? Has been something happened where that, you know it? Has there been something happens in the home or something? A death or something? Cheer up, lady. Give her good courage. Jesus lives and reigns. Have faith in God. Bring this baby in. Who dares to say, all devils in hell is defeated. All spirits are subject now to me through Jesus Christ. The thing is under control now. What could happen? My little sister, you love the Lord Jesus? Come here. If Jesus of Nazareth is here, he'd fled, put his hands up on you and bless you. He'd know what was wrong with you, and you'd get well. Is that right? You believe Jesus will reveal to Brother Branham what's wrong with you? You look like a fine, sweet, healthy little girl, but you're not. You have asthma, don't you? Have an awful time, but you just cough and cough, and at night time, Mother has to get you up sometime to set the cough. Isn't that right? I see Mother working. But you're going to get well, aren't you? Come here. My hands are a poor substitute for his, honey, but this great angel of God who's standing here now will honor my prayer. Do you believe that? Because I ask for you as my own little girl to see. Now you come here to Brother Brandon. Dear Heavenly Father, poor little thing, I pray that you'll take this curse away from her and may the little thing get well. I bless her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Who has rights to thou God? No one. What? Come here again, honey. Sweetheart, come here just a minute. Look, you can just hear right here. No, go ahead. That's all right. There he is. She suffers the same thing. Is that right, sir? Lady? I've never seen you in my life. Do you have a prayer card? You don't have a prayer card. He was a garter here 7 years ago. God be merciful. When I felt that little girl go by there, I felt that asthma jerk again. I thought, where's that coming from? That's on that child. He jumped back on her again. He come back through there, and I thought, I brought the child back, but the child's free. I come back and felt it, and there he was. He might hide from a doctor, but he can't hide from God. He's exposed. That's a horrible demon. Especially the hibernate of in countries like this. It's low and swampy. Have faith in God. I'm just watching to see what would take place. Now get over them hemorrhoids that they're praying. You do? Well, stand up and accept your healing. Lord Jesus. That's what you have. All right. God bless you. Be seated. Something wrong with your eyes, isn't it, sir? Your wife said he has got varicose veins too, hasn't she? Is that right? I thought he was hanging that corner for something. Now that's what you feel now, this feeling is wrong. Put your hand over on one another. May God bless you both. Mm-hmm. Satan's exposed. All right, come, lady. You want to get over that hard trouble? Did you just walk on off and set your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. God bless her in Jesus' name. You won't get over yours, lady? Just walk off, accept it, say, God, thank you for my healing. And I'll make you happy. God bless you. That's the opener for the missionary. Let's get it set. You think sometimes it happens. Just suppose it all. When you lay down the course here, not reading your mind, but I just thought when you went by, there's him. So you go on now, you're going to get all right. Just go on thanking God. Let's say praise be to God. Come on. You might think that I was reading the person's mind. I never looked at this woman in the face. Lay your hand over on my shoulder, lady. The patient here. You believe me to be God's prophet? You believe God can show me out here in this audience what's wrong with you? If I'll tell you in the name of the Lord what's wrong with you, you believe it, of course, won't you? This is diabetes. Is that right? If it is, raise up your hand. I go off and be made well in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have faith. Believe Him with all your heart. Have faith in God. Do you believe, lady? Say amen. Mother. Strain. Heart trouble. Is that right? Went through an awful life. Had a lot of sorrows. I go believe the Lord and I'll be well in Jesus Christ. Have faith in God. Do you believe with all your heart? Would you like to get that garter healed, lady? You believe that it can be made well? Of course, I can see that on your throat from here. That's right. Look to me and believe me as God's prophet. You were sitting there praying that I call you. Is that right? Dave, you might not know, is that your husband sitting next to you? You look at me then, sir. What do you think about it? You believe I'd be God's prophet? You suffer with piles, don't you? Is that true? Then lay your hands on one another and accept Jesus Christ as your healer. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Believe. You keep looking at me, mister. You keep looking at me. You have stomach trouble, don't you? Yes. You have stomach trouble. Something wrong in your head, isn't it? Yes, sir. But the only thing it is, you just haven't been able to approach. You've been prayed for many times. Is that right? You've tried radio, laying your hands on radio. You've tried everything in the world, laid out pleasing. Is that right? Well, then, won't you stand up and accept your healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Rise up and say, Lord, I'll get well. If I lay here, I'll die. Once you rise, you keep there, accept my healing and be made well. Anybody in here believe that you can be healed right now? Lay your hands over on one another and let me pray. Put your hand on her. Lady, that asthmatic convulsion TB in the throat, you're receiving your call. Dear Reverend, now if God will make demons hear, God can stand here and with one prayer make every devil in this building leave. You believe it? If Peter the Apostle approved of God and his shadow passed over the people because they know that God was with him, you sit on the housetop and saw the visions and so forth, and the people believed it. Don't you believe that the same God is here with us tonight? Every scientific proof.
I can feel my strength wielding away. Somebody's got their hand on my back. It's somebody. But I know that's just about the sign that I should be going. But if you agree with all your heart, the devil is exposed. There isn't a person in here now, not a spirit, will be subject to this prayer. If I can only get you to believe it, and what more? We might bring you one by one to this platform, one by one, and it'd be the same thing. You couldn't hide your life if you had to. But look, brother, it'll take your faith to heal you. Look up under the Calvary now and say, Lord God, of creator of heavens and earth, I believe you right now. Have faith now while I pray for you. Almighty God.